Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's just put a pause on the basketball conversation momentarily. And just because over the weekend we finished up the NFL draft, which is always obviously a big time for all the franchises to see if they can make a difference. Yes. The draft, you look back and say, well, that's the one that really turned it. And before we get to Jets and Giants, I mean, Howie Roseman, is he not just like the wizard of the draft now? Like, is he just the guy that just like he has the answers to the test before anybody else
does? But I think Joe Douglas did the same thing. Listen, he didn't have the answers to the test with Carson Wentz. What makes him a genius is he recognized that Carson Wentz wasn't it, and he took a chance on a kid that allowed them, because of the Carson Wentz trade, to continue to have multiple first-round picks. So they're always picking not for need. They're picking kind of what the Jets are doing. They're picking for people that's going to replace as people graduate out of their program, so their program never dips. You know how like Alabama never dips because they had before, used to be the transport portal before, where the Alabama always had more guys from junior college on their roster than any other team before the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what Howie Roseman is doing, right? He already has the replacement for Hargrave.
Right.
He already has the replacement for Fletcher Cox. He went out in the draft and got a pass rusher, so he has the replacement for Brandon Graham. So that's pretty much what Joe Douglas tried to do as well. But I tell you what, man, the DeAndre Swift was a plus. But DeAndre Swift asked to be traded once they saw they picked the kid from Alabama. So I don't know if I want to really give him credit for that. But what he does is he has tremendous pipelines because they thought to call Howie Roseman because they know he'll make a deal with anybody.
All right, so let's just now get into the local teams here.
Oh, yeah.
Because as I looked at Mel Kiper's grades, you know, I mean, he loved what the Eagles did, as I mentioned.
Of course. You know, how could you not? But when you have two first-round draft picks, people fall to you.
He gave them the A. He gave the Seahawks an A.
Yeah.
The Seahawks went quarterback.
These are teams with multiple first-round picks.
Okay. Well, I mean, they did a pretty good job. I mean, you know, again,
The Hendon Hooker is what really put them over the top. The fact that they were able to do all that and still get Hendon Hooker.
They get a corner. They get JSN from Ohio State in the first round.
Yep.
Right.
So they got the draft to go with Tariq Woolen, who they got in the fifth round. So now they got two potentially locked down corners on the outside.
They're going corner at five is a bold move.
They're hoping Brandon Amafe can step up with somebody they got a couple years ago. Like, it's the Russell Wilson picks as well that really gave them an opportunity. Then they can wait and get Hendon Hooker, the heir apparent to Geno Smith. No, they didn't get Hendon Hooker. Who did they get? They got a quarterback, though.
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
Seattle? No.
No? Okay.
Yeah. We thought they were going to go in that direction.
Yeah, we thought they were going to go with Hendon Hooker, right.
But they ended up not going in that direction. Arizona,
they got the running back. They got the running back.
Exactly. The Arizona Cardinals, A-, which is, you know, for them, important.
Eh.
And then he has the Giants with an A- as well.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with the Giants.
And we talked Friday about Deontay Banks, the corner that the Giants took at 24.
4.24, man. 4.3, 40 at 42-inch vertical, 11.4 broad jump. I mean, he's a genetic freak, and he gives you somebody opposite of a Dory Jackson, as a Dory Jackson's coming to the last year of his contract. So now, a Dory Jackson, you expect to be like the number one guy, but then next year you'll say, okay, we can let him go, and we can have another number one guy over here. He can take the step.
See if he can be that guy that emerges into that. Now I mean, you save some money.
And you need big corners. He's a 6-foot corner, right? So
right.
In a world where you got A.J. Brown trying to Debo people, remember – Brown and Metcalf are like freakazoids. You look off, man, they jacked up, they ripped up, look like Terry Crews, you know what I'm saying, underneath them shirts. Like, so they be straight physicality in guys, so you need big guys that can stand up to those big receivers within that division.
And also, but their day two, the Giants' day two was very interesting. Friday, they get, so the Jets went center, but the Giants at 57, they got John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, a center.
PJ Fleck.
And that's and then you mentioned this already. In the third round, they get Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee.
He had a first round grade. People thought he was going in the first round. This dude is like Deshaun Watson.
He had 5 touchdown catches against Alabama, which everybody, that's really what put him on the map more than anything.
1,200 yards receiving.
Another slot guy, too, though. Yes. Another gadget guy for Daboll to mess with in that offense.
And that's what you need, right? Just imagine what Daboll did when he was in Buffalo, with the gadgets, the reverses. He's like Deshaun Watson, the over routes. He's going to get your corner. He's going to get your nickel back. He's off the ball. He's 6 foot, too, as well. So he's not like some small guy as well, but he is a burner. He's a 4-4, but he plays a lot faster than that. Has great hands. I mean, this was a tremendous he could mess around and be their number one receiver. He can be their lead guy.
Really?
Like, he's that talented. Okay. Like when you look at what they have right now.
Him and Wandale Robinson are two guys now that you can do a lot of you can mess around a lot with these two guys.
Yeah. You think about it. So that's why I think like he'll also be outside. He'll probably be the Z receiver.
Okay.
Right, so that means he's the backside guy. So if it's 3-by-1, he'll get the isolation. You know, I think, man, listen, Joe Shane, we were saying it was his time.
Yep.
Right, because last year it was about Daboll and what he was able to do and coaching what they had, which they didn't really have a lot of great talented players. That's why they got rid of.
He took a roster that was bad.
And was older.
From the year before and made them a competitive team. And now it's about, okay, now how can you make it better, make it younger, and make it deeper?
Yeah, they got
and
better.
So the Giants, you feel like, got better. Another name, by the way, on day three, to get the they went running back. Eric Gray out of Oklahoma is somebody that also Kiper really liked.
Yeah, you can never
feels
have
like it, he
yeah.
could be somebody that is, that you can put behind Saquon Barkley.
I mean, right now we know that they're supposed to reengage into negotiations with Saquon Barkley.
Yep, so that's it.
Right. So I mean it's imperative. But if you can't get something, you may decide to say, okay, listen, we can't get nothing worked out as it's still running backs out there. And, that's a tough decision. Like, because if you can't come to something, I think – I don't even know if you put the non-exclusive tag on Saquon if you kind of resend the – you can resend it and see if you can put him out there and tell him, hey, go look and see if you can get you a deal. If you can get you a deal, we'll match it.
Wow.
But, I mean, I think you put the non-exclusive on, and then just to let him see. You see eventually, Lamar Jackson said, you know what, let me come back. And not only did he not get 230 guaranteed, he didn't get what Kyler Murray got guaranteed. So I think you sit and you say, Saquon, listen, because you don't want it to be bad blood.
No.
You got all this great synergy going. Like, Saquon, go out there and see what you can get.
And let us know.
It just gives the opportunity to match because you think that it's some invisible market out there, like McCaffrey. But I think people now in a vacuum would never do the McCaffrey deal. I don't think Carolina would do the McCaffrey deal again. And I think the only reason that San Francisco's doing is because the majority of the money was paid by Carolina.
That's right. You'll make a trade for that deal, but you won't make that deal.
Yeah. So it's not a real deal. So Saquon has to understand, man. Probably around 12. Is really where you should be, and we'll give you 13 because you mean so much more to us outside of football and what you stand for and who you are as a leader in this locker room. But I'm not giving you 14 or 15. It's the number is 12. You want 15. I'll give you 13 because you got Aaron Jones.
Still a lot. That's
what I'm saying. See, but that's cheaper than most tight ends. That's cheaper than most high-end linebackers. So that's what Saquon's looking at. Like, he's probably one of the most famous. It's almost like Reggie Bush, right? Saquon has a sense of fame to him, to his name, and to his brand.
Yep.
But his position is not one that garners that type of money because we understand what the shelf life is.
Right. That's what you're worried about. You're just worried about getting stuck with a guy who's already been hurt at a position that notoriously –
Age is bad.
Yes.
Like when it, you see a quarterback, you see a running back like 27, 28 years old, you're like, Like you see a receiver or a DN or a linebacker, like, oh, he just hitting his prime.
Right.
He just figured it out. Right. He just getting started. You're looking like,
Yeah, when it's a running back, you're worried about the miles.
It's like the third week you get in your car after it was new. You're like,
man, a new car smelled. It's already gone.
It's gone.
All right, so let's flip it now. As we'll take calls, 800-919-3776 on the Giants draft and what you saw and what you want to hear from Bart Scott about. Now the Jets draft. Mel Kiper gave them a B grade. So yeah. Not an A minus, but a B.
Mel gave exactly what I gave.
Yeah, and not an A minus, not a B plus.
It wasn't an A out there to get them. The only way they could have got an A is if they wouldn't have let Pittsburgh take their lineman. But they pivoted well. And listen, they knew at this point the Jets don't really need a lot of great play. That draft was last year, right? When we were applauding, look what Joe Douglas did. He went and got Johnson. He went out and got Sauce.
Yeah, the move up for Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, he got Garrett Wilson. Three first-round draft
getting
picks.
Getting Breece Hall.
Oh, wow. Right.
Right, the way they got
four,
him early.
Four great stars, yes. Right? This ain't that draft. This is about the finishing complementary pieces.
But Kiper said this. So a lot of people on the first day with Will McDonald, they were like, what? Why are you doing? You know, there's a lot of consternation about the decision to go with a linebacker just had Aaron Rodgers, you should have gone offensive line. But even Kiper said, I'm a fan of who Joe Douglas opted for. That edge rusher, Will McDonald, can fly to the football. One of my favorite prospects in the entire class.
Can we explain to people why they don't really, why his numbers aren't? Listen, he still had 34 sacks.
33 sacks over four seasons. He said that I expect him to be a menace in the passing situations as a rookie, and he bulks up to improve as a three-down player. So this is one of those 3 years from now, you might look back and say, it was a hell of a draft pick.
No, two years from now.
Or two. Right.
I'm saying two. I'm saying it's
like
only
right now you can use him this way,
yeah.
But he'll develop into this.
Right. See, it's only going to take maybe a year or two. He's 239. By next year, a great offseason program, a real chef, putting money into his body, he's 239. He'll probably be 245, 250 next year. And that's all you need from your outside rusher. Now, he played out of position for people that's not familiar with Iowa State. He played in a 4-I, which basically played D-tackle. Basically, he was playing a lot of times where Quinnen Williams plays.
Really?
As a 4-I. Right. And moving around.
If you watch film, there's always two guys that take him.
Right.
Like, he's always going up against double team.
Right.
And a lot of times he won those.
So this is what Joe Douglas sees. This is a guy that was highly productive, 34 sacks. That's almost 10 a year, right? So you look at the fact that in our system, he ain't playing no 4-I. Guess who we have at 4-I? We have Quinnen Williams. He had 13 sacks as a D tackle. So now you put him on the same side. Do you think that that tackle's going to get any help from the guard? Hell no. You think the center? No. The center and the guard looking at Quinnen.
Yeah.
So now he's going to be able to come off the edge like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have Bryce Huff on the other side?
Yeah, well, you were saying that.
Bryce Huff is the best pass rusher, that the Jets have.
So you have double trouble.
But you still have Franklin Myers in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So now you think about that NASCAR package. And if, you know, I talked about this on my show last night, if they decide to say, you know what, let's flip Carl Lawson to get money. Now, Joe Douglas probably won't do that, but he has Carl Lawson's replacement. Remember, Carl Lawson is a free agent next year.
Yeah.
Right? His 3-year deal is over. You already have Will McDonald there to learn from him and to take his place next year, just like Howie Roseman does it. Right? Remember where Joe Douglas came from. He came from Baltimore
and
he came from Philadelphia.
Right.
So those, you see those general managers doing the same thing. So he already has his cheap option. He's going to go from a player at a position that's making $15 million to next year, that player making $3 million. So now that's $12 million more that you have access to, but you could probably have more or the same production. So that's where the beauty is there. Now let's go to the Joe Tippmann pick.
Yeah, and because Joe Tippmann was a name that you and I both talked about on Friday, saying, you know, when everybody was like, they didn't get an offensive lineman, and you and I both said,
but yeah, they did.
They can get him in the second round, and that's a good pickup, and they got him. Now, again, the Giants got John Michael Schmitz, who Kiper said he prefers over Tippmann, but either way, he said it's still a good pick.
See, but this is why you have to ask. The reason why you say, okay, you prefer the player over Tippmann, Schmitz over Tippmann, is because maybe he's a better player, but you have to consider what the scheme is. Now, what's the description of Tippmann is he's a pulling center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this running scheme, much like you see Travis Jason Kelce, they're pulling all the time.
He's like 6'8", isn't he huge?
He's 6'6".
6'6"?
So he's a guy that can pull and get on the perimeter and be part of the run game. So he's super athletic. He's one of the most pulling centers in college football. And he's getting to the second level. He's pulling almost every play. So remember when Jalen Hurts walked into the end zone It was because Jason Kelce pulled.
Yeah.
Because they seen that they had the angles.
Uh-huh.
So you back, you block down, and pull. And now they got nobody for him. When the quarterback keeps the ball, it's 11 on 11. You have these type of opportunities now with Tippmann. He's a modern day, like, to me, he's like Pouncey. To me, he's like Jason Kelce.
Wow.
He's like those athletic Kevin Mowai guys who pull. Rarely do you see centers pull a lot. He's an athletic guy, but also he has the scheme versatility at 6'6 to play guard. So you say, well, they needed a tackle. No, you really didn't. Because if Dwayne Brown gets hurt because of Tippmann's flexibility, Fair Tucker is the Jets' emergency left tackle, who may be better than Dwayne Brown at tackle at this point in his career. So you'll understand, Fair Tucker is your tackle.
And real quick, so you mentioned the tackles, and that's the criticism. That's why the Jets have a B grade, because they didn't really address at the top of the draft.
At front end.
The tackle depth that, you know, you're concerned about Becton and his health, obviously. But you Brown.
Yeah, but I just showed you that they did.
So in the fourth round, they take Carter Warren from Pittsburgh. They went to Pittsburgh twice, by the way.
Yeah,
they also
man.
Got the running back from there as well, and you love him.
Yes.
But Warren, what's the story? Why should that feel like?
Okay. First of all, welcome home. He's from Patterson, New Jersey.
Yes.
Big up. You know, you talk about long arms, but, you know, the reason why he fell is because he only played four games this year. So when you get to these points, you can take players now that you have Tippmann and you have Bear Tucker as your emergency backup tackle, who probably is an upgrade from both tackles that you had, probably better than both tackles that you have, but he has such scheme versatility. So you got a tackle. You got a tackle by getting a center who can play guard at 6'6", right? But you look at Carter, he's 6'5", he has very long arms. He's athletic. He's a powerful player as well. He started 40 games. He started 39 games in his career. So he's played a lot of football. And for everybody out there, most of the best guards, Marshall Yanda, probably going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's a third-round draft pick. Armstead, who introduced the Saints pick, is a fourth-round draft pick. Now a great player, right? So you have to understand that they addressed and got a lot of depth. But at this point, the Jets really didn't need any starters. You got Mekhi Becton as your starter. So any player that they had picked wasn't going to start anyway.
Yeah, he's projected as a backup at the start. He, you know, the knee injury, he says, is 100%. Not a problem. It's meniscus. So
it's a meniscus, yes.
It's not major structure kind of damage.
He missed, but the
issues with him have been penalties, which, you know, you definitely don't want to deal with that at the NFL level. But, you know, did they address tackle? Did they get at least some tackle depth? We shall see.
Remember, they still have Max Mitchell.
What round was Max Mitchell, by the way?
Third round.
He was a third round pick, right?
Listen, okay. And Max Mitchell was balling last year, and he didn't get hurt. He had blood clots.
Yeah.
That's a non-football injury.
Okay.
But, all man, right. This last kid, first of all, Michael Carter, I love you, but Michael Carter.
So fifth round, another Pittsburgh pickup.
Michael Carter, why this kid slid
this
far?
Can you say his name?
Oh, yeah. It's Abaconda. Yeah.
Israel Abaniconda.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about him last day on the show. That's why I heard his name.
How many yards did he run for?
Yeah, 1,400.
How many touchdowns?
Yeah, 20.
Damn.
How the hell do a dude that rushed for 1,400 yards?
What was the
knock? Not at some little conference. Listen, it's always somebody that falls, right? Because other people already maybe not need the position.
By the way, he's from Brooklyn. He went to Lincoln.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Another local kid. You know what I mean? But you talk about it. Imagine Mostert, right? We saw Mostert last year, put on a clinic for the Buffalo Bills, right? When Miami played the Buffalo Bills, they were running the ball, and it was just he was so fast and so strong. How quickly he can hit these lanes. Well, what does Miami run? Basically, the same run game that the Jets run, which is the same run game that the San Francisco 49ers run.
Interesting.
So now you put a guy there with this type of productivity. Now you got Breece Hall, a blazer. You got Bam Knight, who's pretty fast, who can hit it too. And now you got this kid, home run hitter. Now, you said they got him at a 4-4. When I did the show last night, they had him at a 4-2-9.
4-2-9.
4-2-9.
All right, that's fast. All right, it's because we're running out of time here. So who's roster now? Let's not the draft. You gave the Giants a better draft.
Yeah.
But now that rosters are fairly set, now we'll see whatever everything else shakes out. You said this too, that the Jets now might have the ability to bring in some guys that, you know, again, you have
Giants,
now the
Giants too.
You have the magnet that is Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see if that, you know, yields some veteran talent.
Yeah.
But right now, head to head, which team has the better roster?
I think it adds to the Jets just simply because they have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. So I think you feel more confident about them at the corner position.
Okay.
You know, Chuck Clark at the safety position. Mm-hmm. I feel like C.J. Mosley, they have the better linebacker. If you go with who has the best, let's just say it's a push between Dexter Lawrence and Quinnen Williams.
Okay.
Let's not even argue that one, even though they're different types of players.
Both have to get paid.
Right. And you talk about running back, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley. I don't know if you can really make a big distinction against there, but the biggest difference is Aaron Rodgers versus Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Right? I think you give the slight edge there. And you might give the slight
edge. You're going slight edge?
I'm just going to say
Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones?
I'm just trying to be nice.
Okay.
Right? So you would say that with Darren Waller, you know, the Giants have the better tight end. You would say that the Giants, with what Andrews did at tackle, have a better tackle. But if you had to ask who's the best lineman out of all the offensive linemen, Vera Tucker's the best lineman out of all the linemen. You would take him first out of any lineman that you have there. Now, can Evan Neal step up? Yes. I would give the slight edge in coach to Daboll. I think Daboll, you know, his effect and his ability to coach and what he did with Les is slightly better. But because Aaron Rodgers, I would give the slight edge. But the beauty is, we're going to be able to figure it out. And oh boy, will we be able to figure it out. When you consider that these two teams play each other. Now listen, I co-hosted a draft party with the Giants. And it was all kumbaya. It was all sunshine and roses.
Mm-hmm.
But man, now we got to go back to being enemies because we play each other. Now the last time I remember.
The schedule, we don't know the schedule yet, but we do know
we
that
do.
The Jets and Giants, what do you mean you do?
Listen, I'm feeling it in my bones. Imagine this, Giants. If the NFL is listening, Goodell, if you ain't already did this, you better do it because this is the greatest matchup, and you talk about symbolism that you can have. Jets-Giants, Monday Night Football, September 11th.
Ooh.
Come on. Man, we got to have a drop. Could you imagine? I'm hearing through a grapevine.
Ooh, my baby.
I'm hearing through the grapevine. That's going to be the game. Jets-Giants, Monday Night Football, September 11th. The flyover, the remembrance, the flag.
Wow. That's
Giants, now, the home team.
Monday night because the week one, Thursday night, Kansas City is hosting because they're the champions. So they'll host.
The 10th is the official start.
Thursday night
Sunday.
Football, September 7th. That's the official NFL season kickoff game. The 10th is week one.
Yes.
And 11th would be the first Monday night football game.
Last time we did, it was against them Cowboys.
And you wouldn't think that the ESPN, ABC wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers in his first start as a Jet in New York? And then to say, why don't we have the Jets and Giants play each other that night?
The two teams.
Because it is September 11th.
September 11th, yes.
And wouldn't that be something?
I want to ask the fans. You heard me break down the draft. Whether you're a Giants fan or Jet fan, if they play Monday Night Football, or whenever they play, who you got?
It's a Giants home game.
Who you got?
Wow. That would be a hell of a first Monday Night Football
You talk
game.
About ratings?
It's Aaron Rodgers. Let's just start there. It's the fact that it's Aaron Rodgers, which we know everybody here, we love him. ESPN loves Aaron Rodgers.
And we got to keep it straight in New York. So tell me this. I want our listeners to try and make this. I want them to kind of.
You want the energy to turn this into
I want them to direct this show. Because it's New York, so it has to be a New York-centric event. Who you got singing the national anthem?
Oh.
Do you got Mariah? Do you have Alicia Keys on the piano? Ooh, New York. Like, what? Who's singing the national anthem? Who's doing a halftime show? It got to be a New York-centric 9/11. Who you got? Help us pack the venue.
Let's produce the show.
Let's produce the show.
800-919-3776. First of all, let's start the campaign already that this must happen. All right, if the NFL hasn't decided yet, which they probably are already putting this together.
We will march to the headquarters.
That should be the Monday night game.
How can you not?
That should be the Monday night game.
If you're about theater.
But again, just the Aaron Rodgers part of it alone, but then on top of everything else,
Monday night football,
that makes
September
sense.
11th,
football,
Mariah.
Back alive in New York. You got the Giants coming off a playoff win, a playoff
Can we get
appearance.
Jay-Z? Oh, Jay-Z's on the committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get Jay-Z to do the New York song?
Kind of like that. Oh, the Empire State of Mind?
Yes.
Most people are kind of like, we're good with that song.
No, but that's different until you're doing it live. This is doing it live. Halftime show. Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I'm about that Brooklyn, right? Yeah, you want that, right? Mm.
Oh, we got a player from Brooklyn.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get the calls rolling on this. Now, we first have to, of course, because it's that time of the show, we do have to get the audio files. We'll get to that. But in the meantime, we'll get everybody's calls stacked, racked, and ready to go. Because you need to hear, like, we always love the mea culpas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, Dylan Brooks, oh, he wanted to poke the bear. Well, he poked the bear, and the bear poked back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The NFL has to kick money into this too, right? Because it's opening Monday Night Football. It's 9/11.
Of course.
So they can kick money in there. Mm-hmm. Like, and New York has so many stars that they don't have to go anywhere. They just coming from their crib.
And I feel like this right now, as we've been talking about for a little while now, this is like a New York sports renaissance. Wouldn't that be like a way to kind of celebrate that a little bit?
Yeah.
And hopefully the baseball teams will be doing better by then.
Joe, lean back, Jada. I want a halftime concert.
Tribute to New York, huh? Well, here we go. MSG Network's the place to be tonight, everybody, for Game 7. Of Rangers Devils. The puck drops at MSG 8 p.m. on MSG at 8 p.m. It's actually at The Rock. With a full complement of pre and post game shows also available on MSG. So, 8 p.m. puck drop for Game 7. Two best words in sports on MSG. You don't want to miss it.
Are you nervous?
I got nothing to me. Friday night was my. That one hurt.
Yeah, I felt bad.
That one hurt.
I knew you needed time to let it breathe, so you know, why I made no jokes.
Zach wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave.
He didn't leave?
We were one of the last people out of the building. He just sat in his chair, just staring off into the distance.
Couldn't believe it.
It's just frustrating, you know? But that's kind of fitting the way the season went for the Islanders. So they're out. Nets were out first. Islanders out next. And one of the Rangers or Devils will be out after tonight.
See, but this is the thing, though.
So we had five teams from the winter in the playoffs. We could be down... Well, we will be down to two.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
After tonight.
But the thing is, you're down to two, but you feel more emboldened that Boston's gone, that one of those teams can win a championship.
That's a great point. So, at least get to the cup final.
Right, you see what I'm saying?
At least get to the cup final, Bart. It's a real thing.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're the
So, you got less people that can get there, but the path is clear.
And if you're the Rangers, and this is not a shot at the Devils, because that's a young team, and their goaltending situation now is kind of like iffy. Because
so you want the best team that can win a championship.
Schmidt played really well for a couple of games, but all of a sudden it seems like they found out, hey, that glove ain't – he's got a hole in that glove.
You know what I hate? I hate when a team has an upset and you know they're going to get their ass kicked in the next round. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you just knocked off one of the guys, but then you can't go and beat the team that we need you to beat.
Like, yeah, it's like you pull off the upset, but you ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, then you watch your team the next round have a layup.
We shall see.
But I still believe in the
but
Knicks.
But out of the two, you say Shesterkin's the kind of goalie that can take you on a run.
Okay.
He's that good. So we'll see. But the Bruins being out, man, the door is open. All right, meanwhile, it is time right now for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
All right, Bart. So speaking of playoff series and upsets and everything else, the Lakers do knock off the Grizzlies. And they send them home. And, of course, you know, LeBron James feeling good about life.
No, it was definitely a game seven mentality for us. And we understood that we had an opportunity to play in front of our fans and we want to try to end it tonight. We came out with a disposition, with a next play mentality. And even when we made mistakes, we brushed it off right away and moved on to the next play. So I just think from the start of the game, we was just locked in on our game plan and all the way till the final seconds of the game.
They treated game six like game seven. They knew they did not want to go back to Memphis. So they get it done. And interesting enough, Dylan Brooks did not speak after that game, and he really was almost useless for the Grizzlies by that point of the series. He couldn't play. And so, of course, after the season is over now and they have their exit interviews, Dylan Brooks does end up speaking to the media. Remember, he's the one that did a lot of chirping before the series about how LeBron's old and he likes poking the bear. He's all about being the heel. So he was asked if he had any regrets.
No. You know, that's who I am. You know, I don't regret it. I'm a competitor and I compete. I don't think it got LeBron geeked up. You know, is he back in the playoffs? It's been a little while, so I think, you know, he was ready to play. Overall, we just got beat better by a better team, bigger team. Guys that have their whole team, their whole pieces there. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to be me and get better at what I do.
What is it that you do? Because that's what's going to be the question when you think about free agency coming.
Yeah,
get better at what you do. But being an ass and a distraction to the team, mm-hmm. You don't think LeBron, you give a guy that don't need motivation, you gave him some more motivation. Because if he wasn't motivated, he wouldn't have had that conversation with your ass before the game. If it was just, whatever. It's like, you know what LeBron did to him? And we need to get this sound because this another clip. This is what I love about the show. Our drops just continue to continue.
Yes, they do.
Basically, what he did is he was messing with Stanley, right? So you listen, like, on Baby Boy, he talking all that stuff, like, yeah, go in your room. And he's sitting there with his eyes closed and he come behind him, like, yeah, Ben Rames, call for your mama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mama. You lucky I stay off you because of that woman. If we was in prison, I could make you get on your knees and fix it. They always want a brother. I told you, don't F with me. I told you, don't F with me. They always want a brother with his second strike. They get his third strike. Smack him on the back of the head. You want something from the stove? What y'all doing?
I'm just wondering what the future is for Dylan Brooks because he is a free agent.
And
their GM spoke like, you know, now's not the time to talk about it. Like,
and they want maturity.
They want to mature. Right? They're going to change their ways. And maybe that's one guy. Like, Ja went through what he went through.
Yeah, but he's a star.
That team went from being the fun, kind of like punchy young team that's not afraid of anybody to like, all right.
Annoying jerks.
Now you're being annoying. Yeah. So that's that story. But now here's the other story. We don't just get LeBron James in the second round, Bart. We get Steph Curry versus LeBron James.
The Steph Curry era, baby.
Sacramento Kings, a young team that went up 2-0 in that playoff series. The Warriors did what they didn't really do well in the regular season. That is win on the road.
Yeah,
they
man.
Had to win on the road. They did. They won a game seven on the road, and they did it with Steph Curry doing something we've never seen in NBA playoff history. I know it sounds redundant, but he did it again. He scored 50 points. In what turned into a blowout, which no one saw that coming.
It was 58-59. It was 58-59. I thought it was like, all right, oh, man, they in trouble.
That third quarter, he just became the chef. He did all these things. The shot making off the charts, and the Kings had no idea what hit him. Steph Curry was asked a simple question. Who can stop you?
So who can stop Steph Curry?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, De'Aaron Fox is going to learn from this. I mean, he didn't show up. He didn't have a great game. You know, by his standards, he's the star. He wasn't able to match what Steph was doing. But I would ask you this. Who do you think has the ability to have a dominant performance in this series? Because we know Steph is capable of going for his post. I don't think LeBron got that in him.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, though. This is going to be a fun. Anybody thinks this? I saw some tweets about how, oh God, we're going to see this again, and the Man. Old guys, and the it would have been more fun to see the Kings. And I'm like, you don't realize this series is going to actually be good. Yeah. This is going to be a good series. Here's Steve Kerr, by the way, on Steph Curry. Who? What other word can you use?
You run out of adjectives.
But incredible.
He doesn't surprise me. We all take him for granted because he's brilliant night after night, and we've been watching this for 10 years. And, you know, you just have to remind yourself every once in a while, big picture, this is one of the great players in the history of the game.
It's just, I mean, again, what a great
and I
story.
Think, I don't see him slowing down. Because the way he plays, I understand the cardio and running. But because you can shoot, you have so much more space than if you're a guy like LeBron that has to get to the paint, isolate, all that type of stuff. Shooting never dies.
No.
I bet you Reggie Miller right now can probably come out here and shoot 40% in today's NBA.
No. And for Steph, it's going to always be about his ability to just not be a defensive liability as he gets older. But we just see he's just such a great shot maker. All right, last but not least, we can just roll through this as quickly as we can. How about this story, too? So, a scout with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I love this story.
Right? Like, is this not one of the cool stories that we have?
Yeah, just the best story.
You want to tell it?
Listen.
Your thing, man. This is football. This is you.
I love the story. I always forget to get his name.
So Chris Vaughn is the scout.
Deuce Vaughn.
And his son is Deuce. Right.
Who I love, by the way, who should have went a lot earlier than this. My coach from college actually is his runner, actually his coach.
Oh, really?
Offense coach, yeah, yeah.
All right, well, the story here is that, well, I'll just play it for you. Chris Vaughn, you know, his son's good.
Son's great.
And so Jerry Jones decides we're going to draft him. And he talks to Chris about it. This is a great thing.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working. Look at here, man. You want to come to work with me next week?
Damn!
I wouldn't mind that.
I got somebody want to speak to.
Yo, that's...
I don't know when I've been speaking for everybody that's really in the heart of the Dallas Cowboys is standing here with a tear in our eye. We're so happy to have you on the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't thank you enough.
Well, what I really want to say, you earned every ounce of me being able to make this call. I'm so excited. There's just something magical about this moment that may be bigger than we even realize here talking to you on the phone. But you is now a Dallas Cowboy. Your daddy just handed the card in right here.
Yes,
it's got him on it. Congratulations.
He was in the sixth round, pick 212 out of Kansas State. He's 5'5".
Yo, but a beast. When I say, straight up, like, this dude is a beast. Like, I was making calls for my agent to try and get him through my coach. Like, yo, this dude is a beast. This dude had 1,900 all-purpose yards.
Damn.
Like, he went to work. He had some huge games against some huge programs, man.
Okay.
I think they played Alabama or somebody played. Man, this dude is a beast. Think Darren Sproles.
Okay.
But he can run in between the tackles, man. This dude is amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Some little dude.
If he puts a jersey on and plays for the Cowboys, it's even better. But what a moment for a dad. You heard the emotion. What a moment.
And it's crazy because his dad, he probably, you know, he's looking at it, it's the sixth round.
And he said, I wasn't pushing him on us. I didn't want to do that.
No, he's a beast.
But they said, let's pick him.
Listen, you're not gonna have Tony, you're not gonna have Tony Pollard during the beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
Like, this dude, listen, I know he's 5'6". But he's 5'6", 180. That's big. This dude is thick. He ain't some skinny dude that you're going to go knock out. Like, this dude is like Darren Sproles, but like, this dude bulky, ripped up, yoked up. That's a moment, man. Man, that's a moment.
And that's why perfect way to end Audio Files. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The report is not good. The Yankees now, all of a sudden, just one game over 500 after a brutal road trip, 2-5. Sunday was an embarrassing loss. I mean, you get smoked 15-2 in Texas. And Nestor Cortes gave up 7 runs. He had 3 home runs as well. And, I mean, you know, for Nestor, you know, this was a tough one.
Yeah, I wasn't commanding the fastball well today. That's where I got into trouble, that first inning. And I gave up that hit to right field, but those 2 walks and then the grand slam obviously put us down early. Felt like I battled back the next few innings and then once again ran into trouble walking that guy and giving up that home run in that inning in the fifth.
I mean, he kept it pretty simple, didn't he? How about Aaron Boone just talking about Cortez's struggle?
Got himself in a tough situation just with throwing a lot of pitches there and not having command early. You know, the second, he goes out and he doesn't give up a run in the second either, but I still felt like he was searching for it a little bit. I thought he kind of settled in the third or fourth a little bit, and then obviously just ran out of steam there in the fifth.
Look, Bart, this team right now is banged up. DJ LeMahieu is your cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
This is what you're dealing with. Look at this. You've got Kiner Falefa, Higashioka, Aaron Hicks. I mean, these are guys you're throwing out there on a regular basis that you were not expecting to play on a regular basis. This is not what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, we thought that, you know, we become so accustomed to watching the Yankees get out to some huge lead.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is better.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to think that I'm not even, like, am I crazy to say this? I'm not in the least bit concerned. I don't think that this is going to change anything about their ability to win a World Series.
Yeah.
And I'm actually almost comforted by the fact that whatever the bad is, might be get it out of the way now.
The others get to play.
And we're distracted. We've got playoff hockey, yeah, playoff basketball. Yo. We got the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Like, we don't need to. This is not a focus right now.
Yeah, lucky
now, it will be when we get to June, but it isn't right now. Yeah.
Lucky for them.
Probably.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.